We often don't know what to do with the biblical stories of sick people being healed, and tonight we heard two of them. Miracles are not something that many of us expect to see much. Most of us have seen very few recoveries that could only be explained as miraculous. So it's not something we expect to see routinely. And so even if it was something that Jesus did routinely, it doesn't seem to have terribly much relevance to our lives now. For some people, there's a fierce need to defend these miraculous healing stories as proof that Jesus was the unique and special presence of God in the world. But again, unless the same thing is continuing reasonably frequently, how does that help? Something unique and special happened back then, but what's it got to do with now? Others are very focused on the symbolic meaning of these stories. And there's no doubt that the gospel writers did use these stories to symbolize things that were bigger than just the physical healings. But sometimes our focus on the symbolic level seems to be a way of avoiding our questions and doubts about whether an actual healing took place. I want to explore the story that we heard tonight from Mark's gospel account about Jesus healing a leper. And I'm going to pretty much take it for granted that it actually happened more or less the way it's told. I don't pretend to know how. There are many things that happen today that would have been regarded as miraculous if they had been observed by previous generations. You know, we walk up to glass doors and they just open in front of us. The connections between things are a lot more complex than we can presently understand. Maybe one day science will have an explanation for all the healings that Jesus did. And maybe it won't, and they will forever be seen as miracles. I don't really care. Jesus did these things, and understanding how is not nearly as important as understanding why. Even with that decision made, it might be going to appear that I don't know what to do with this story because I've got three different angles on it tonight, which could possibly have been three different sermons. So hopefully I can hold them together in a way that doesn't just end up seeming disjointed and undecided. Certainly they all relate more to the question of why Jesus did this than to theories about how. My first question is very much about why. Mark tells us that the leper came to Jesus and, kneeling before him, begged him, saying, "If it is your will, you can make me clean." And then it says that Jesus was moved by some emotion that I will address in a sec and stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be made clean." And he was. Now, what was the feeling or emotion that it says moved Jesus? Because Mark particularly emphasised this idea that he was moved by... Most translations say he was moved by compassion or pity. And that makes perfect sense. That's what you would expect. And that's the problem. You see, there are some other early manuscripts of Mark's gospel that say he was moved by anger. There's not as many of those, so a simple count of the evidence favours compassion. But one of the things that the ancient text scholars say is that simple majorities can be outweighed by a rule that says the more difficult or problematic version is more likely to be the original. Why? Because it's much more likely that the scribes who were hand-copying these texts would try to clean them up than make them more problematic. Jesus being angry in this context is a bit harder to explain, so it's more likely that a scribe would tidy it up by describing Jesus as compassionate rather than angry. It's much harder to imagine why anyone would change it in the other direction. There are a couple more technical things that favour reading it as anger too, but this is not supposed to be an ancient text analysis class, so I'll spare you the details. But if anger is what moved Jesus to heal this man, what's that about? Why is Jesus angry? Well, the story doesn't tell us why. So what I'm about to give you is a hypothesis, not any sort of proven fact. And of course, it's a hypothesis built on a textual variant, and we've got layers of uncertainty here. I think that Jesus is angry at a cultural assumption that lies behind the beggar's request. The leper's request. Jesus is not angry at the leper, but at the attitude that has infected the man's thinking from the surrounding culture. You see, the leper doesn't just ask Jesus to heal him. He says, "If it is your will, you can make me clean." Can you hear what lies behind that? How often have you heard people suggest that it might be God's will that someone is sick or injured, and that it might or might not be God's will that they be healed? Sometimes it's expressed more subtly in phrases like, "Everything happens for a purpose." And I have often found myself piously qualifying my prayers by saying, "Lord, if it is your will, heal so-and-so." Now, not only is that prayer a bit timid and more intent on giving myself an out clause so I can explain a non-answer to myself, but it's probably expressing the same attitude that was making Jesus angry here. Because there's a whole picture of God lying behind it that sees God as choosing to inflict illness and injury on people, presumably as punishment. And Jesus is saying, "No, God is not like that. Sickness and injury are never things that God wills. Don't let them tell you that." So when Jesus says, "Of course it's my will, be clean," he's doing more than just healing one leper. He's seeking to heal a cultural assumption, a distorted cultural image of God. Angry at the distorted understanding of God, Jesus wants to heal us all and set us free from this debilitating belief that whatever horrors might assail us, it's the will of God. The second thing I want to explore follows on from this rethink that Jesus is challenging us to make. Note the language that both the leper and Jesus use. It's the language of cleanness or purity, not of sickness and healing. The leper doesn't ask to be cured, he asks to be made clean. And Jesus says, "Be clean." Now, why does this make a difference? Well, because the idea of clean and unclean is a specifically religious view of the nature of what's going on. We still use this language a bit when we talk about someone having a dirty little secret or soiling their reputation or dragging their name through the mud. These are moral judgments for which we use the language of uncleanness when we describe them. In Jesus' day, people didn't think that you were unclean because you had leprosy. They thought that you had contracted leprosy because you were morally unclean. So again, sickness is seen as a judgment of God. And people keep away from the unclean, not because they're simply afraid of getting germs, but because they were afraid of being corrupted, contaminated by moral uncleanness, and thus liable to similar judgment themselves. Moral evil is seen as contagious in the same way that we see germs as contagious. So lepers were required to live outside the town lest they morally contaminate the townsfolk. Good, clean people certainly didn't touch them. But what does Jesus do when the leper says, "If it be your will, you can make me clean"? He says, "It is my will," and he reaches out his hand and touches the man. "Be clean." You weren't supposed to touch a leper until after he had been certified clean, but Jesus touches him and then sends him off to be certified clean. Do you see the significance? Everyone else thought that uncleanness was the most contagious thing. Touch a leper and the uncleanness would flow from the leper to you. But Jesus thought that cleanness, that love and goodness were the more contagious thing. Touch a leper and the love and goodness and healing would pass through you and overcome the uncleanness of the leper. Ask yourself what that might look like the next time you hear someone saying, "We don't want those kind of people here corrupting our culture." Once again, Jesus is trying to heal not just one leper, but a whole culture, a whole way of thinking. A culture that tries to keep itself pure by keeping out those who it regards as suspect, as not measuring up to our values, as different and dangerous. The more things change, the more they stay the same. But Jesus is more confident that truth and love and genuine values will always be more contagious than their opposites. "It is my will. Be touched and made clean." The third thing I want to note is a point that I owe entirely to Samara, who came up with this brilliant insight during our host group meeting the other night. At the time, it related more to last Sunday's reading, but it's here too. Last week, we heard that Jesus wouldn't allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was, and we wondered why he didn't want anyone else to hear who he was. And tonight, we heard Jesus sternly warning the healed leper not to say any of this to anyone. Again, why? I mean, it almost sounds like anti-evangelism. Don't tell anybody who Jesus really is or what he's done for you. Have you ever heard preachers say that to you? I don't think so. What is that about? Well, Samara pointed out that this would be completely understandable today in the age of social media. So perhaps the dynamics in those days were not so different. So often today, there is a frenzied rush to identify who is saying something and then to argue about the merits of that person themselves and thereby ignore whatever it was they were saying, or just argue about the person. Jesus' message was not that Jesus is the Son of God. His message was that God's culture of love and mercy is at hand and that we should all get on board. He didn't want people getting into fights over the divinity of Christ or the doctrine of the Trinity or any other form of identity politics that the demons might love to generate to distract people from contemplating and responding to his actual message, a message of a new culture of love and mercy. And equally in tonight's story, Jesus is already struggling to keep up with the queues of people who just want him to deal with their particular individual need for healing. Jesus is trying to proclaim a message of healing for a whole culture, and he doesn't need people out there spruiking him as the best solution to your acne problem. As long as everyone is distracted by who he is and arguing over that, they're all busily tweeting their opinions on whether or not he is all that the demons say that he is, or whether he's just a snake oil merchant with some clever tricks, his message is going to go unheard. His endeavours to get people to recognise and embrace the cultural shift that he's bearing witness to will be lost under all the noise, which is, of course, exactly what the demons would have hoped for. Perhaps these things are signs of just how resistant and resilient the old cultures are. Even Jesus struggled to be heard and understood. People all too readily lapsed into arguing about who he was. And the culture of hostility and suspicion and us versus them divides just survived and kept reasserting themselves. The leper and others like him went and told everyone they knew, just as Jesus had feared. And ironically, the result was that it was Jesus himself who, like the lepers before him, was forced to live outside the towns to try and avoid the crowds. Perhaps you can better see now why I said at the start that I don't much care for complicated discussions about the nature of miracles. Because such discussions can end up being exactly what Jesus was trying to avoid here. Distractions from the message that Jesus was trying to proclaim. The message of a new culture of love and mercy and peace. It's the same when we gather around this table in a few minutes. We could easily get distracted by a Twitter storm of debate about the nature of the real presence of Christ or about who is and isn't allowed to come to the table. And if we did that, we'd be missing the point. Because this table is not a theological debate. It is a place of nourishment for a new culture, the culture of God's love and mercy and peace. And if we surrender ourselves to that culture and feed on it at this table, we will indeed know the truth, not just skin deep, but deep in our bones, that it is the will of Jesus that we be made clean and set free to be new people in a new culture for the life of the world and the glory of God.